from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Vayakhel B'Kudei, Why Bezalel? Torah makes a big fuss about the notion of Bezalel, that he's the one who was chosen to build the tabernacle, to build the first Mishkan, the first house of God in the desert. This week's parsha we have Ru'u Karashem Betzem Bezalel Ben Ben Chur Mate Yehuda. Behold, God has called in the name of Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Chur, to the tribe of Judah. Vaimaleh oto ruach Elohim, he filled him with the Spirit of God, bechokhmah, bitfunah, v'dad, v'chomlacha, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and the knowledge of all the different types of work, lachshot machshavot, to conceive ideas, lasot bazahav, achaz v'nachoshet, to work with gold, silver, copper, with all different types, ula horot natam libo, and also to teach others. He didn't make everything himself. He had a whole staff. He taught them how to do it. He filled them with the wisdom of the heart to do all these types of things, weaving and metalwork and all the rest. Of course, many things in Vayakhel B'Kudei harp back to Parsha Truma, Tetzaveh, and beginning of Kitisa. And there in Kitisa it says, Rei karati b'shem, also I've called the name of Bezalel, amaleo tovu chokma, I filled him with knowledge, and I gave him also Eliav, ben achisamach, meidadan, there was another person who was with him as well from the minor tribes, etc., etc. But the emphasis on wisdom, even greater in this parsha, the emphasis on teaching in this parsha. Why? Why Bezalel? Why did it have to be Bezalel? Let Moshe be in charge, and he can tell them how to do it. And if you hire someone who happens to have wisdom of a carpentry or metalwork, so fine. What's the big deal? What do we need to know? That what his lineage is and who he is. And it says over and again, Vayas Bezalel, Bezalel did this and he did that. Why is it so important to know who made it? Whoever did it? Sometimes you build a shul. Rarely does it say who actually built it. People who gave the money, the people who conceived of it, they're the ones who get the credit. The one who built it with his hands. Very often we overlook. Maybe we shouldn't, but the people, that's a tendency. So what's going on over here? So firstly, there's a midrash about why Bezalel particularly. And it has to do with his lineage, because we know it always says Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. I mean, usually you don't give someone's grandparents when you're listing who they are, but here we do, because Hur was important. We know that when Moshe was supposed to go up to the mountain for 40 days. He said that Aaron and Hur were in charge. We come back, Moshe comes back, and he's talking to Aaron. What happened to Hur? It's one of these unmentionable crimes. The Midrash understands there must have been an unmentionable crime that they killed Hur when he said, no, we're not going to do a golden calf. They killed him, and therefore the sanctuary, the tabernacle, which in many ways atones for the sin of the golden calf, must be done and prepared by the one who stood up against the idol-making people, against those who made the golden calf, and the descendant of Hur, he's the one who will do that. So it's like we want to give Hur a great honor in the building of this anti-Egel, anti-golden calf structure, and therefore all we can do, we can't bring back the dead, but all we can do is we can use his grandson to build this Mishkan. Since he gave his life for it, so says the Midrash, so says Zad Zagenim, Ibalia Tosfot, the Tosfot school. Rabbi Salvejic explained, what does it mean, Chokhmah? It's someone who knows how to conceive it and carry it out. Saw someone in Israel suggested that Moshe was a man who could conceive of things. He was unbelievable. But in terms of carrying out, he didn't get to do that. You know, he didn't come to the land of Israel. He didn't actually bring us to the land of Israel. We didn't actually do it. So someone who could conceive, but he couldn't carry it out. The chokhmah, the wisdom here is to conceive it, as Rabbi Salvejic said, and also carry it out as well. Rabbi Salvejic also pointed out that if you ask, well, where would someone know all this artistry from? Where would someone like Bezalel at this particular point in history know how to work with metal and how to make beautiful things? It must have been in Egypt. As Philo says about Moshe, Moshe must have had a very advanced Egyptian education. So too Bezalel, says Rabbi Salvejic, must have learned it in Egypt. And I'd like to add that it seems that every Mikdash is built on the most beautiful terms of that particular era. The Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, based on Egyptian architecture and knowledge and culture. The Mishkan of Solomon, he used Phoenician artisans. He spoke to Hiram of Tzor, from the Tyre, from the Phoenicia. They were the great artisans, particularly of wood. And one day, in the end of days, there will be a great effort, through an international effort, to bring about the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the Malbim says that we need wisdom, not so much for the simple matters. You know, today they make these models of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. Show, this is the gold and this, and this is the garments. They're not so beautiful. I mean, you can technically make the garments, but to really make them in a way that makes it beautiful, that requires a special sodot hamlacha. There are special secrets of the matter, whether it's secrets of making things beautiful, the secrets of art, or the secrets of what everything represents. Each thing in the Mishkan, for instance, the table, the showbread represents, as Rabbi Saul Berman pointed out, chesed, kindness. The menorah, as the gra pointed out, represents seven branches of wisdom. And so on and so on. So to understand this, not only those secrets, but even the greater secrets that lie behind each one of the artifacts of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, this is what he had. That's the chachma, that's the tvuna, that's the wisdom and understanding it took to understand what it really represents. One might add that when you make something, you know, you could put too much hubris in it. You put yourself in it and you say, well, look at what I made. And it becomes basically an idol. And how to distinguish between, you know, a something made for God and something made in honor of me, the creator of it, the maker of it, the artist, becomes Bezalel's Mishkan. Wow, look what a beautiful Mishkan that I made. And how do we avoid putting ourselves too much into the Mishkan? This was something Bezalel must have had, that secret of how to make it a holy sanctuary, a sanctuary where everything was made, not for him, but for God. Everything was made l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. Finally, I would suggest that if we talk about the need for great wisdom to understand, to teach, to understanding all kinds of different levels of wisdom and understanding, wisdom of the heart, it's because the whole venture of trying to make a home for God, it makes no sense. It's an impossibility. As Shlomo said in the days of his dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, ultimately in Jerusalem, he says, even the heavens can't contain God. How is this house going to contain God when the whole heavens, the whole universe is not big enough to contain God? There's no containing of God. There's no concept of a house of God, God dwelling somewhere. The whole thing makes no sense. How do you do it? How do you build these vessels, build this home, and somehow bring the divine presence to it? That's why we need Chachma. The whole thing is a secret. The whole thing, to the simple mind that I have, makes no sense. Only Bezalel understood how somehow this was going to happen. Not in an idolatrous way that God comes to the Beit HaMikdash. Not in a simpleton's kind of way that, oh, this is God's house, but everything else is not God's house. Somehow to understand how this could be the house of God without reducing God to one place, without saying that God cannot be in this place, somehow to find a way to make it work, that somehow you could make a house for God. It's a difficult thing. It's something that required a lot of chokhmah. It's something that required Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, Lamatei Yehuda, and his assistant, Eliab ben Achisamach, Matei Dan. It requires also someone a little more humble from the tribe of Dan, or later in the time of Solomon, from the tribe of Naphtali, Hiram from Naphtali, some people of more humility to create the greatest edifice ever in human history. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Lemeth congregation for our discussion of Parshat Vayakhel Pekudei. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parshah, various holidays coming up, and also the how-to videos as well. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.